friends, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite podcast, Like Anime.
Sounds optimistic. Favorite podcast.
I'm assuming if you're tuning in right when this comes out, you've been patiently waiting since the last episode.
I'm hoping that that is true for at least one of you, that it's your favorite podcast.
My name's George, and I'm joined by Tony.
Hello, friends. Wait, that's our intro thing. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, that sounds weird.
They're your friends, too.
Hello, George's friends.
Tony's really cool, you guys. Give him a chance.
Why does everyone hate me, George?
Yeah, we're back again. We're in the middle of kind of talking about new shows that are debuting spring 2021.
Yep.
Got a new batch.
Spring 2021, week one, and this is part three, covering Sunday through Tuesday.
And we like to split it up because it's a lot to talk about all at once.
Yeah.
Take a break. And
I mean, does anyone really want to listen to us talking for 4.5 hours about every anime? If you do, let us know. We're probably not going to change the format, but you know.
It'd be great to know. Noted. Yeah. I don't want to listen to us at all after we're done, but yeah. I'll have to edit it. Anyway, moving on. That's my burden. We are back, and we got a new set of shows. I have seen, I think we have 10, or maybe 9.
9, because you said you have 4 that you've seen and 5 that you haven't.
There's 6 that I haven't. I miscounted.
Oh,
so we do have 10.
So 10 then, I guess.
And Tony's seen a few more than I have, but we'll be able to talk about most of these together.
I've seen, yeah, most of these.
And we're going to start with a show I have seen, which is Megalobox Season 2.
Megalobox Nomad.
Nomad, that's right.
Yeah.
So that you saw the first, this is the second season, and you saw the first few episodes
or
something?
I saw some of the first season that I watched, yeah.
Just a little bit.
I remember, like, it looked really good. It was, you know, it was super hyped when it was first coming out. It was, you know, something that I was like, hey, everyone's going to watch this. I should, you know, watch this, even though it looks like something I won't be into. So I started watching it and like, yeah, the animation's gorgeous and the story was fine, I guess. Just wasn't really a story for me that I was into. Yeah, you've seen it more recently than I have, I believe. So I'll probably leave it to you to talk about it more.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since it originally debuted, and I watched however many episodes it was, 2 or 3, I think.
Okay, just a little intro there. I hadn't watched it when it came out. I remember people talking about it, and I remember specifically, which this is true, but I remember just hearing that it has this throwback to sort of like late 80s, early 90s kind of OVA style, when OVAs had like high budget and just looked real nice.
Yeah, it was, I mean, a lot of people originally were hyped for it because it was thought that it might be like a sequel, I guess, to Ashita no Joe.
Yeah. And it's more of like, it is like officially related to it. Because I read that it came out like, it was like the 50th anniversary of Ashita no Joe.
Yeah. But it's more like an homage, I guess. It's not really related to the story, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like, spiritual successor or something. I don't know. It's like inspired by and indebted to, but also a different take and different, which I actually have never seen Ashita no Joe. I was confusing it. I thought I have. I was confusing it with another boxing anime that's from like the 90s, so more recent than that. And I'm trying to remember what it was called. Ugh, it's not coming to me, but anyway. So in preparation of this, I don't know, like Megalobox Season 2, I was like, I want to see that. So I watched the first season in the last like week and a half or so, so I could be ready. And because I knew there was a season 2 coming, I was expecting the first season to end on a cliffhanger, you know, be like, oh my God. So when I start watching the show, it's about this sort of lone wolf. They really hammer home this lone wolf aesthetic. But the main character, he like lives outside of town. He doesn't have an ID. Sort of a futuristic world, so they have like ID numbers, like barcode kind of things, and he's sort of unlisted, and he's a boxer in the underground rings, and he's really good and wishes he could fight to his fullest, but he's constantly, you know, having to The only way you can make money is, you know, throwing fights, making money for the promoters. And so he's kind of stuck in this, but then they announced this worldwide boxing championship. It's called Mega the Box, and anyone can enter, but you have to be an actual citizen. And they take the top four boxers, and you know, whoever wins becomes, you know, becomes the champion. The catch in this futuristic world is they all wear this like advanced boxing gear that is sort of rigged around their, there's like a main chest part, and then it's like rigged around your arm, so it gives you like extra strength, I guess, and force, and you kind of have some armor where it's covering you. And the whole main plot is about this, our main character who takes on the name Joe, who was nameless before. It's sort of a callback to Ashita, no Joe. And yeah, so he's just trying to fight, get into this tournament. And there's a whole thing that happens with that. And there's a lot of underhanded deals that have to be made. And it's kind of cool. There's some tension because he basically worked with his coach who was having him throw fights. And now they're actually trying to get him to win fights. And they're actually trying to do it the right way and, you know, not trying to be skeezy, but they have this like mob boss that's, you know, kind of pulling strings from behind the corner. And it's pretty good. Like, cause you imagine, like I was imagining it to end on a cliffhanger of like, they hadn't even got to the tournament, but spoilers, if you watch the whole season, like they get through the whole tournament. So this second season takes place like years later. And it's more about, from what I gathered, they don't give you a lot, but it's more about the emotional state of where Joe's at now. He's kind of, seems like the coach is dead. He's having visions of him. And Joe is like addicted to these pills. I'm not sure what they do.
Mm. So it's years later for him as well. Not just years later in like our time, but
yes,
like in anime time.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's been a time skip.
Okay.
And it doesn't really, you kind of pick that up from like contextual clues. And he has a drug problem. He's boxing in the underground rings, but he's using a pseudonym. And he's like grown a whole beard, so he doesn't look like, you know, how he did before. There's more to get into with this. I mean, in the first season, he's known as Gearless Joe because he go to get in recognition or get recognized. He goes without the fancy futuristic boxing equipment, and so he just goes bare. And so he ends up, you know, getting in, competing, and winning that worldwide championship.
Oh, so he does win then?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I assume so. Like, it seemed like, how are they going to set this up where he doesn't win? But, you know, they can pull some stuff to make it not happen. But
the cool part about it, which I liked, was that he, at the end of the first season, he pretty much wins, but it's not like, it's, you assume that he won, and he did, and the second season confirms it. But the way they did it, it wasn't like this, oh my God, you won. It was kind of like, he was victorious, but, you know, not at what cost kind of thing, but it was more about the joy of, I don't know, the joy of boxing, but the allure that comes with, you know, doing such a thing. I don't know. Because at one point, you know, they have like sponsors, and they're like, you know, they're trying to, the main boxer at the most that he fights at the end is working for this woman who creates this boxing equipment, you know, so she's trying to, you know, promote it. But the end, it's a twist on like, no, let's just do it for the love of boxing, essentially. But anyway, yeah, this first season or the second season seems to be more about his emotional struggles and just trying to find himself. And I kind of like that because the first season left me wondering, like, where is it just going to be another boxing championship and he's just going to do it all over again? But they seem, it's called Nomad, as you had said, and seems like they're going to stick to that. He's going to be wandering around, meeting different people, and hopefully trying to kick his addictions and his mental,
issues. Did they dive into any backstory from this second season, like of what happened between him winning and him having reached this, well, back to this low that he was at the beginning of the first season where he's, I assume he's throwing fights again, or is he not throwing fights? He's just, you know.
Yeah. He's not throwing them. He's doing it his way, but he's like pissing people off. And so I think that's like in the first episode, he has to like leave the town essentially and like find like another place to do it. Cause he's not playing by the rules, you know, of the underground, you know, playing to their rules. But they gave a little bit. I mean, the thing is like in the first season, the whole point is like he's a nobody, you know? And so they don't really dive into what happened before that events or like where he comes from. And so far the second season, it's touched a little bit on what might have happened in between seasons, but still nothing about like, you know, where he comes from. So I'm not sure if, and I'm okay with that if they don't want to delve in, you know, get into that, but I'm more curious about them exploring, like, now that they've set it up, like his emotional depression and, you know, inner turmoil seems to be the focus more than just like winning and trying to prove yourself.
Yeah. So the gap that we're missing between the first season and the second season seems to be sort of a flip flop of, the first season, because he starts off as nobody, works his way up to being the world champion, I guess, basically.
Yeah.
And then after becoming the world champion, he somehow works his way back down.
Yes.
To sort of where he started, sort of just coasting off of his fame from his win all those years ago, I guess, right?
Yeah. And there's scenes of him like trying to just go about his normal day and like overhearing news footage of that, you know, his name being mentioned, like, where did he go? And, you know, what, you know, how would he fare against these new, you know, new pro boxers we have?
Sounds interesting. I almost want to pick it up, but I know that it's probably going to get back into the boxing stuff a little bit more, which is kind of what, you know, didn't really drive me out of it, but I just wasn't that interested in it. Yeah.
I get that. I mean, I'm not sure how much you would like it, but in the first season definitely had, like, it got me into the characters, which I know is something that you appreciate. Yeah. But I was definitely caring about them. Like, I don't know how far you got in the first season, but they eventually come across these homeless kids, and one of them kind of becomes endeared to Joe and starts hanging around them, and they eventually like shrug him off, but then he becomes part of their little, you know, crew, and he's a pretty vital part. And I don't know, he for one, I think third episode he's kind of introduced, but he kind of won me over.
Yeah, initially. It sounds like vaguely familiar, but I don't really remember that very much. So yeah, maybe he's just introduced in probably the last episode that I watched. So
okay, yeah, could be. And he hasn't been brought up at all new season. So I was like, where is he at?
I liked the characters. Well, the main two characters, Joe and his coach.
Yeah.
Like their interactions and stuff like that. The other characters that are sort of outside that circle, I didn't really care that much about, I guess.
Yeah, there's not much there.
Yeah, and I don't think you're supposed to either. They're not really the main focus of the show or anything. So, but yeah, their sort of interpersonal relationship was interesting. And yeah, and now the coach is gone, and we don't know what happened to the kid who apparently becomes a major part of it. May probably be revealed through time, I imagine.
I imagine, yeah. Contrasting this with some other shows that had some rushed plot points, this to me is like taking its time, and I like the pacing of it. Like, it feels in a sweet spot for me, where it's like, okay, like you've set it up really nicely, and I'm in, and I want to know how things are going to unfold.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I look forward to hearing more spoilers next week.
Yes. Well, hopefully, I did spoil a bit of that, but...
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. I do not mind at all. So then next up on the list, I see Dragon Goes House Hunting, Episode 1. So this one looked cute and charming and decently animated and all of those things, you know, when I saw the trailer and everything. It felt a little more, I don't know, this one isn't rushed. Well, maybe it is. It does jump around a lot. So yeah, this is supposed to be sort of like a sort of dumb comedy, it seems like anyway. That's at least the impression that I got, but it's a little too dumb for me, I think. I'm not sure. It's just, it's not like lowbrow humor or anything like that, but the comedic aspects of it are just
like obvious jokes.
Obvious, or? I guess. Yeah. I mean, so the story, I guess I should go through that. The story is there's this dragon who is kind of a whiny brat, spoiled brat. And his father kicks him out of the house because he's being a spoiled brat, basically. And then he needs to find a place to live because he doesn't have any place to live. And everywhere that he tries to go, there's always someone that's trying to, you know, conquer him, you know, become the next dragon slayer or something like that. And it jumps through all this really quick. Like, he goes one place and they're like, oh, well, you should go over there and talk to this person. Then he goes and talks to them and they're like, oh my God, it's a dragon. Oh, well, you should go over there and talk to this person. And then he shows up there and they're like, oh my God, it's a dragon. And it goes on like this for a good 20 minutes. And then, and then he finally, at the end of it, meets this elf who seems to have some sort of extreme level of power, who is some sort of real estate agent and helps helps monsters find safe places to live, I guess. And that's where it ends.
I like that this elf is super powerful and also a real estate agent. Like,
yeah, it makes sense, right? Why wouldn't
he's
you
on
be?
The up and up, like, very successful career.
Yeah, I mean, there was something that was alluded to that it sounded like maybe he was like a dark elf or something like that. Like, there's some dark thing, you know, going on there as well. It was just briefly alluded to. But anyway, yeah, there wasn't much substance to it. All of the comedy was pretty dumb. The animation was passable, but it was rough in places. This may be another victim of, you know, sort of speeding things along or, I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of tortured productions, perhaps.
Yeah, the story pacing isn't good, and the animation sometimes was good and sometimes was not very good.
Dang.
I don't know. So, yeah, this one, I don't have a lot more to say about it. I gave it a 5 out of 10. I will probably watch the next episode just to see if it improves at all. I am assuming it's not going to, and that it will be dropped after episode 2. But I don't know that for sure. So, you know, yeah.
That's fair.
You get another episode just based solely on, like, my thoughts after having watched the preview, you know. Mm. After having watched this episode, like, if I hadn't seen the preview and I just watched this episode, I would have dropped it already. Mm. But, like, the preview, not that it gave me anything else, but it looked like a different show than what I ended up watching here, I think. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
And then we've got Higehiro, which at one point was What Happened When I Shaved My Beard, but now apparently the American title is After Being Rejected, I Shaved and Took in a High School Runaway. So there's another show this season, which also has a shortened Japanese title, Koikimo, that has a sort of similar theme of, like, an older person who seems to be becoming involved in a romantic relationship with a high school girl. As it turns out, that is not the case for this show. So pleasantly surprised by that.
Nice.
It starts off with some really sort of H-y vibes to it, intentionally so, and I think it does serve the plot. Mm. Versus, you know, we talked about Mushoku Tensei before.
Yeah.
Where I don't think it served the plot, but here I think it does, because it's sort of showing how this girl has, well, she's a runaway. It says that in the title, so I think I can give that away.
Yeah. And I haven't seen this, but it was kind of also on my short list of things I almost got to.
Yeah. So she's a runaway who, it seems like, has maybe been through some stuff, since she, you know, has been out on the streets, and, The gentleman, our main character, whose name I didn't write down for some reason, he finds her just sort of sitting under a lamppost as he's on his way home one night, after having drank a lot. And he says, "What are you doing out here in the middle of the night, high school girl? You shouldn't be out here in the middle of the night." And she's like, "Oh, well, I don't really have anywhere to go." And he says, I don't know. What does he say? Something like, "Yeah, you should find somewhere to go. Where are you going to go?" Or something like that. "You can't sleep out here. It's too cold," or something. And she's like, "Oh, why don't you just take me home with you? I'll do you."
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's where the H-y stuff comes in. It's mostly her being, like, suggestive and trying to sort of seduce him so that she can have a place to stay, which seems to be what she was using to, you know, have a place to stay prior to having met him.
Okay.
Anyway, so he ends up taking her home, having no intention of doing her as she suggested, mostly just trying to, you know, get her off the street and protect her. So he's sort of taken on this sort of not really parental, but guardianship of some of some sort, basically. So he, you know, takes her to his house, and then he wakes up the next morning, and having been basically blackout drunk the night before, he has no idea who she is, and freaks out. And then a little bit of comedy ensues because of that.
I can picture that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he sort of just decides that he has to, he can't really turn her back out onto the street because she'll just go back to doing the things she did before. And he, for some reason, feels this need to protect her. So it seems to be developing into a, you know, parent-child, guardian-child sort of relationship, which is good considering where it started with the sort of HE suggestions going all over the place. Yeah, and he, you know, takes her out shopping, buys her new clothes, buys a new futon, and, you know, and she starts to sort of regress to a more, not childlike state, but less mature. Like she, you know, at first she has that sort of maturity to her, and she seems to be regressing to be more of, you know, appropriate for her age, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and it seems like a sort of sweet little comedy, not romantic. At least as far as I can tell, and as much as I'm hoping.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing in my notes says, I hope they don't pull a new Soggy Drop. If anyone has seen that, they know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, you don't watch the second season because, yeah, just don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, seems like a sort of sweet little, parent and child sort of thing almost, you know, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I also hope it maintains that sweetness and
yeah,
that's cool.
It looks good so far.
Would you rate it?
Oh, what did I give it? I gave it a 6 because you know it's decent. It didn't you know there was nothing really you know outstanding about it again, but it was it was pretty good.
Okay.
And next up, I hinted at it before. We've got Koikimo. The what is it? Something something Kimochi Warui. It's disgusting to call this love, which I think has been changed to some other English title. They keep changing the English titles. I can't keep up. Anyway, this is the other one where it's an older gentleman in love with a high school girl, but this one is not so sweet.
I had a feeling about this. I didn't watch it, but I saw the trailer and I just, I don't know. I steered clear.
I mean, it's definitely like they set it up as a romantic comedy, which is definitely what it's intended to be. Mm. But just the nature of the romantic part that they're trying to set up, Kimochi Warui, you know what I mean?
Jaffiel.
So yeah, it's everything I expected it to be. I knew what it was going to be going into it based on what I had seen. I was willing to give it a chance to prove me wrong, just like I did with Higeru. Higehiro. My tongue doesn't want to work. Higehiro surprised me and, you know, looks like it's actually going to be a good show. And this one was, yeah, it was just exactly what I thought it was going to be. It sets up a romance between a high school girl and an older gentleman. Basically, the situation is she's on her way to school. She sees this guy who isn't really paying attention to where he's going or something like that, and almost like does a face plant down a flight of stairs. She saves him and then says, oh, you look like you're kind of out of it. You probably need some food. So then she gives him her bento, you know, that she had for lunch or that she had was taking to have for lunch at school. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to school. He goes to work or wherever the heck he was going. And then after school, she goes over to her friend's house to, you know, talk about homework or whatever, her high school friend. Mm. And wouldn't you know it?
Yeah, their neighbors.
No, it's her older brother.
Oh, wow. Same house.
Yeah. So her older brother walks in and is like, oh, hey, I know you. And
how haven't I seen you before?
And then he proceeds to say, oh, well, you've got to let me, you know, pay you back for, you know, everything you've done for me. How about a kiss?
Oh, God.
And she's like, ugh, get out of here, dude. And And then he's like, oh, well, I mean, I could do you if you like. And she's like, get out of here, dude. Oh my God, basically. And yeah, and then proceed to, you know, the next few days, he's sending her flowers and presents and stuff and, you know, trying to seduce her. And
he sounds desperate.
But okay, so that's the thing. Like, it's set up that he's just this complete philanderer, basically. Like, he's like a playboy.
Oh, okay.
And the thing that he likes about her is, I guess, that she says no, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the creepy stuff.
And he basically thinks that she's just being tsundere the whole time. But she's really just, like, creeped out by him because...
She did one nice thing, or two nice things, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and now he's like, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember referring to it having a stalkerish vibe when we were watching the previews and stuff like that. The way that he happens to show up where she is on several occasions in this is not stalkery based. It's really just happenstance, but it doesn't stop him from, like, you know, sitting down at the same table she's at, even though she protests. And, you know, she at one point tells him, stop buying me these gifts. And he's like, oh, sorry, is it making you uncomfortable to receive presents from an older man or something like that? And she's like, yeah, please stop. He's like, I'm not going to stop.
This should almost be from her perspective, and it should be like kind of like a horror, like a suspense thriller. Like, yeah. This guy, I see him everywhere.
But the writers do a good job of making it seem like a romantic thing that's happening. Like, it's framed in such a way that, like, you can see this as a romantic comedy because that's how it's devised. But it's just uncomfortable. And 5 out of 10 dropped it. Animation is fine. Like, animation looks good even, but don't care. Story sucks.
Yeah. I 5 out of 10 sounds generous, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't painful to watch in any way. Okay. Like, it was uncomfortable because of the subject matter.
Mm.
But in every other way, it's a fine show, I suppose.
Well, you know, subject matter is kind of at the heart of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. That's good to know. From the what I was seeing online, yeah, it seemed like people were, like, not into it.
Yeah, it's so
that checks out.
Made for a Japanese audience, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, a certain older guy who is having trouble wooing the ladies.
Yeah, the plot doesn't really make sense, but what? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We're done with it. We don't have to talk about it anymore. We've I don't given have to it watch enough it energy. Anymore. Yeah. So next up is Mars Red. This is the, when was it set, in 1923?
Yeah, I remember because Joran was 31.
Mm, right,
and
right,
this
right.
one was in the 20s. I didn't remember exactly when.
Yeah.
I did not see this one.
You did not see this one. Okay. Well, there goes that guess. So George, right before we started, told me that there was a show that he had watched that wasn't on his watch list originally. So I wrote down a guess of what it was going to be, and I wrote down Mars Red.
Mm.
And it was a 50-50 between this and another one, but I guess we'll get to that one eventually.
That was also on my short list, Mars Red, ones that I might get to.
Yeah, so I actually have, like, a full page of notes for this one because it was among the first ones that I watched, so I was really note-heavy. I'll
know that feeling.
Yeah, I'll try and pare them down
a little bit. If you liked it and you want to recommend it to me, then I try to avoid spoilers, I guess. That'd be my...
Okay.
But if you want to dig into it and you don't care, then go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure I can avoid spoilers. Okay. Like, the first episode, there's, like, basically nothing to be spoiled.
Okay. I mean, I don't mind, like, setup and stuff, yeah, but...
Yeah. So, I mean, it's largely, like, setup, world building, that sort of stuff. There is a story that takes place in the first episode, but it is just, like, a purely one episode thing from what I can tell. So it shouldn't even matter in the future. So there's no, like, future spoilers or anything. But yeah, world building, like, obviously we're talking about vampires. So we have to set up the rules for vampires as they exist in this world because, you know, in every vampire movie, they tend to vary in one way or another. You know, how do they become vampires?
Yeah.
Do they die when sunlight touches them? Can they cross open bodies of water? That sort of thing. Which is one of those sort of lesser known rules, I guess, but it comes up occasionally and it does come up in this one. So, So yeah, they're defining the rules. There's not a whole lot introduced about the central drama. But there's at least one side character that was introduced during this that looks like he's going to be a more major character going forward. His name is Defrot, I think, is what I've got written there. He doesn't really play a major role in this. He just sort of shows up, but just the way that he shows up leads me to believe that he's going to be a major character.
Hmm.
I'm just sort of going through characters here. There's a female reporter that shows up at one point that I'm not sure if she's going to be a continuing character or not. And they didn't give us like a lot of info on her, except she happens to look like another character who is sort of the main character of this episode, not the main character of the show, though. And the main character of this episode is a female vampire who appears to have been recently turned into a vampire, and they have captured her because in this timeline, the government is capturing vampires to protect the public, but also to try and turn them to their side so that they can have these vampires to use as soldiers, okay. It would seem.
Yeah.
And they don't go a whole lot into that, except just in relating to this female vampire that they caught.
Mm.
Our main character is a guy named Maeda. And he, initially, he comes in to interview this female vampire to see if she could possibly be turned to the, you know, the side of the government. And he's not real sure. And then later in the episode, he's sort of promoted to the overseer of all vampire operations or something like that. Mm. So he's definitely the main character. And there's another side character that shows up early on that is having a conversation with him. He's like a lower ranking military guy. I don't know if he's going to be anything going forward, but they sort of had this conversation where they're sort of talking about their families. And Maeda, the main guy, says, "Oh, well, I have a fiance, but I've never met her." And this conversation happens right before he goes into the room with a female vampire who he then sort of exchanges some sort of knowing glances with or something like that. Mm. And then the female vampire escapes. And then when he encounters her after she has escaped, he addresses her in a sort of familiar way. And so it makes me wonder if maybe this female vampire was actually his fiance or something because of the familiarity there. Okay. And I wonder if it's something that they're setting up and, I don't know. There's a lot going on, I guess, but yeah.
Is there only one episode out?
Yeah, this is just one episode.
Okay, okay.
So Maeda, the main guy, he seems like a good guy. He also seems like he's really sort of dedicated to his military service as well.
He's not a vampire.
He's not a vampire. Okay. No, the only vampire that we have seen that we know as a vampire is the female vampire.
Okay.
Whose name I have here somewhere, but okay. It doesn't really matter because I don't think she's ever coming back. She's this one episode.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's a dedicated military man, and but he seems to, I don't know, he seems to sort of empathize with this female vampire. So I wonder if they're setting something up so that at some point he, you know, has this internal conflict on whether he should do his job or, you know, be a good guy. So I don't know.
Okay.
I probably talked about that in completely the wrong order because I just sort of threw everything in sort of a stream of consciousness sort of thing. But I would say it's a pretty good show. It's definitely just sort of setting things up at this point. We don't really know what it's going to be about going forward other than that there's vampires and it's 1923.
So it's like vampires are, as they should be, deemed criminals or, you know, are
dangerous to society. Yeah.
So the military and government at large is looking to detain them and then potentially use them in their armed forces.
Right. And if they're unable to sort of turn them to their side, as they say it, they have no problem just, you know, disposing of them.
Okay. So working in the military, like there's like a culture of, you know, being against vampires, but the main character is kind of conflicted about after meeting one.
Yeah.
So I'm just summing up what you said.
Yeah. Like he seems like I say, there's like this whole, like, he seems to identify with her in some way, or he has something with her beyond the surface, which they don't really tell us anything about, but it just seems like it's there. And maybe it's possible I'm just reading too much into it, but it seemed that way.
Okay. So so they either know each other or they have some connection, or he felt something or something.
Or maybe it's going to turn out that he has a little sister who got turned into a vampire or something. Mm. So then that's why he has that empathy or whatever. I don't know. Like, there could be a lot of reasons. I just felt like there was something there.
Okay.
That's
left kind of in the air at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I also gave this a 6 just because, you know, it's not like, there's not a lot to go on yet. So, you know, I'm going to need more before it can possibly get better. But, like, the animation was nice, like, good. And the story was compelling and interesting enough. Kept my attention throughout. Nothing that I disliked about it. It's just, there's not enough to go on to give it any more than that, right?
A decent setup, just need more.
Yeah, yeah. As long as the setup, pays off and continues on in some way, probably going to get a higher score than that. But for now, can't do much more than that.
Alrighty. Mars Red.
Mars Red.
Redemption.
No. I don't think that's right. That sounds wrong.
You're wrong.
All right. Next up is one that we both said we were watching.
Yes. Odd Taxi.
Yeah, it is odd.
It is quite odd.
And there's a taxi.
Yeah. The taxi's not that odd, actually.
No, the taxi itself's not odd. No, it looks like an older Mercedes or something, probably. Mm. But, yeah.
I'll take that. We both saw this. I quite like this one.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah. Nice. When I was watching it, my dad happened to be in town and he was here, and I was like, well, you're watching anime with me. And he saw this one, and I think he was kind of into it too, which was kind of cool, because I try not to torture him, but I don't know. It's kind of unassuming. Like, I saw the trailer and it's like this, a lot of anthropomorphic animal city, like a Zootopia or a Beastars, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just people in a city, but they're all different animals that walk and talk like people.
Yeah. Yeah. And not quite to the animation style is not like Beastars or anything. It's more cartoony than that.
That's true. Yeah.
But just the nature of them being anthropomorphic animals that live in a society of anthropomorphic animals. God, if I could talk.
Which is an interesting, it's kind of becoming a thing now, a trend, but it is an interesting way of sort of showing what a person, like personalities are like, kind of foreshadowing maybe a little bit of, what someone's like. But anyway, in this show, we have a walrus who is a taxi cab driver.
Yeah, his name I have somewhere, Otokawa.
Oh, Otokawa. Yeah, I didn't write down any names for this one. Mm. That's good.
That's the only one I wrote down.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an important one. But yeah, it's about him. And at first, it was kind of slow, and I liked it. It's pretty, and he's driving around the city, and he's picking up people, and he has some interaction. He picks up like a teenager.
Yeah. Little hippo teenager.
Yeah, he has a hippo, I was trying to remember. And he's kind of like a little brat and is like disrespectful and tells him to turn his radio off, and then is like, talking about how he wants to go viral. And they have a fun, like a cute interaction. But then I was thinking, it's just kind of unassuming of where it goes. And I suppose we're going to get into spoilers, but there's a lot of mystery and intrigue going on in this story.
One of the first things I have in my notes is that, like, after having watched the trailer, I was not expecting like a mystery crime drama, but that seems to be where it's going.
Yeah.
I'm on board for that. Like, it's not a disappointment. It's just a little bit of a surprise, I guess.
Yeah. Same. And I'm hearkening back to some of the first episodes we've watched. I'm thinking of like Joran, which we're going to talk about the second episode coming up here, but like Joran, and even like the latest My Hero episode, and there are some other ones we've talked about where the reveals happen just too quickly, or like they're not setting them up enough. But this with Odd Taxi, like, I was on board with everything. Like, it timed very well, I thought, of, and we can get into it.
Yeah. They're holding their cards pretty close to their chest. They're sort of dropping a little information here, a little information there.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of, I mean, this is like a sort of ensemble of characters. Like, there's a lot of characters that are introduced, not in like a super rapid way or anything like that, but just, you know, bit by bit, we meet these different characters.
Kind of casually introduced.
And they all have their own, you know, threads that they seem to be somewhat related, but we're not sure how they're related yet. Mm. And, like, they all seem to have secrets. Like,
yeah.
Even the ones you don't expect. Except maybe the hippo kid. He doesn't really have any secrets, I guess.
That's true. But hey, but like this is the first episode. I'm already everyone is suspect now.
Yeah, everyone else. But yeah, it's, I for this one, I don't really want to go too into spoilers
or
anything.
If you haven't seen it,
it's
kind of a show where, like it's way better not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Because I can think of at least three or four things that I could say that would, you know, take enjoyment out of it for someone that hasn't seen it. So, I mean, at this point, it's been almost a week since it came out.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you haven't seen it, we're giving you another week, and then it's spoiler city. All right? So you've been warned.
All right, we can leave it at that.
All right. I gave it 6 out of 10 as well. Like, it probably actually deserves a 7.
Okay. You know? I actually straight up gave this an 8.
Oh, really?
I loved it.
Wow. All right.
I had a couple notes of like, visually it looked really good. They had a lot of the backgrounds, especially at night in the city and stuff, had like this sort of watercolor. I don't know if you noticed this, but it was like sort of a watercolor aesthetic of like buildings and like different lights and stuff. And it was just really cool. Mm. It gave us like dreamy sort of. And I only noticed it like when I, you know, during a lull of characters not talking or something.
Mm, I don't remember noticing it specifically, but yeah, like visually, yeah, very nice.
Yeah, looked good. And I think I said this before, but the characters to me just were believable. Like I was just into, like, the reveals added up with the motivations of what we had learned so far and their personalities on display. And I don't know, like, it was all, like, I was just on board with all these reveals, because sometimes you get these out of nowhere, like, you know, who killed who and who's doing what, and it's like, why? And like, I don't believe any of this, and this to me was all, like, all done pretty well.
All right, so then the next one coming up, we've got Yakumo, Yakunara Mug Cup Mo. Let's make a mug too, I believe is the
T-O-O.
T-O-O. Yeah. Not.
Because I think sequel. Yeah. When I first saw the title, I thought it was sequel. This is it. This is the other show I watched.
This is not the one that I would have guessed, but as soon as I saw it on the list, like, I'm like, I should have guessed this one.
Yep.
So yeah, it's cute girls doing pottery.
Yep.
There you go.
Little shorter episodes.
Yeah.
It's like a 14 minute.
Yeah. And then there's a live action portion.
Which
for the
I also
other
watched.
Part. I watched that as well. So I guess I'll talk about the live action part first. It was just the voice actors that, you know, that voice the characters in this doing things. It was not
it
terribly
was
interesting.
It was cute girls
to
doing
me.
Cute things in
real
in life.
Real life. Right, right. And so the live action portion was like 9 minutes, which took away 9 minutes from the animated portion, leaving us with 14 minutes of animation. And I was sort of disappointed with the shortness of the animation portion, especially given that the live action portion wasn't really anything that interesting to me.
Well, the live action one disappointed me because when it first starts, they show like a reel of like things they're going to do. And one of them is they actually go and throw pottery. The voice actors.
Yeah.
But they didn't actually get to that in this one. And there's going to be another episode next week.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to do this every week with the live action thing.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
I kind of liked it. I mean, there's not much to talk about. Like, but it was kind of cool. I don't know. They had some cute conversations. I mean, there's it's I don't know. It's probably not that much different from the show. I mean, a show like that in on paper, you know, they're just kind of talking about whatever and walking around doing things. But it's not anime.
I think maybe I've just seen enough of those. Like they're often released as like promotional videos. Like, oh, the voice actors from this anime go and do this thing, and it's very Japanese television feeling. Like just very fake feeling, you know. I'm probably not going to watch any more of that live action.
Well, I am next week at least because I want to see them try to throw pottery.
I want to see the anime girls throw more pottery.
Well, yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, we're going to get that for sure.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, well, they started off in this episode with her sort of learning how to, you know, shape a pot is what she was making, a bowl. Oh, she was trying to make a bowl. Yeah. So... where to begin with this? It is slice of life. It is, it might be Yashike a little bit.
Yeah,
it's pretty mellow and chill.
Yeah.
There does seem to be more of a story going on than your standard, you know, nothing happens Yashike. So it's somewhere in the middle, more towards slice of life, I guess.
Yeah. I liked the, it looked great, very lush, especially the pottery itself. They show different mugs and bowls and stuff, and it all looked, I don't know, the color design of it and the way they did it. I just thought it looked really nice. But I originally checked this out because my mom is really into pottery and ceramics in general, and it's just kind of, it's a huge part of her life now, and she's pretty good at it, and she keeps getting better. And she's not really into anime at all, but like, I totally am going to make her watch this. And I think she'll actually get into it because, you mentioned in this first episode, they start to get into how to actually throw pottery. And I imagine it's going to keep going along those lines. And they'll be talking about, you know, nerdy pottery things that my mom can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah. The basic premise of this show is like so many other, you know, slice of life shows where it's like, girl moves to new town, goes to school for first time, joins club, makes friends, does cute things with her friends.
Yeah.
In this case, it's pottery.
Why not?
And that doesn't sound like a great elevator pitch or anything, but I'm into those kind of shows. So, you know.
That is what it is, though.
Yeah.
But it's, there's something magical, you know, about those types of shows. But I think maybe not distinguishing it from so many of them, but I've only seen a few number of those kind of things. But I appreciated, like, because it turns out that her mom, the main character's mom, died when she was really young.
Four, yeah.
And she was, like, a really good potter.
Yeah, like nationwide famous, possibly world famous even.
Yeah, very renowned.
Yeah.
And she... I don't know if she didn't, I mean, she knew that her mom made pottery, but it didn't seem like she knew that she was like really famous or something. I don't know, the family, her dad had kept that from her or something. We learned this, and usually when you have like, I literally wrote in quotes like dead mom introduction or backstory, because it's such a cliched thing, but I really liked how they framed it because it comes up, it's like, she goes to the pottery club and they bring her, name drop her or something, or this girl they isn't in class actually, I think is talking about her or something. Really energetic blonde girl, but
yeah, it's not until she gets to the club.
Oh, was it the
before
club?
That? So this energetic blonde girl decides she's going to be friends with our main character, and then says the energetic blonde girl is really excited about joining the pottery club. Oh, you're right. She does name drop her in the class because she says, I came to this school because it's the school that mom character
name, whatever her name is,
went to. So she does name drop her in class. And it's weird that our main character doesn't react to that or anything, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
But
because then she gets up and talks to the class and pulls out these, like, you know, fancy cups her mom made or mugs.
Yeah.
And the other girl, blonde girl, seems to, you know exactly or recognize them as something well made.
Yeah. Anyway, and then after that, so after class and everything, they go to the club room where main character girl, did I write her name down? I did not. Where main character girl sort of has this sort of sensory memory of the smell of clay, I guess. Once she walks into the room, she's like sort of recalling.
Yeah. It's like a sensory memory.
She's like, yeah, this seems so familiar, this smell. And, yes. And then one of the girls says, oh, you know the smell of clay or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I love that. And that segued into her realizing how famous her mom is in the pottery world, and all these girls like, oh my God, that was your mom. And then we learn that she died, but all that to get that information out. But then by the time she's just like, you know, it's very casual. It's not like they don't build it up for this drama. Like my mom, you know, my mom died and I'm, you know, when I was young and I'm, you know, moody about it, you know, kind of thing. Or like, this is the huge chip on my shoulder, you know, yada, yada. It was just kind of like, no, it's a matter of factly, like my mom died and that's who she was. And yeah. I don't know. So I like that aspect of it where it was.
Yeah. They address it like almost immediately after, like all the girls are sort of fangirling over her, who her mom is, and say, oh, well, why did she stop making pottery? And she's like, well, she died when I was four. And then like they have one of the girls like sort of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, bring up. She's like, oh, no, it's fine. Yeah. You know, it happened and life goes on.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which is very lifelike, I suppose, which goes with the slice of life. I thought it was handled well and got me invested in, I don't know, these characters.
It was a very good episode. It was just sort of, you know, the setup was sort of your standard plot for this sort of thing, you know, with the club and everything. But I mean, it's about what you do with it after that, I guess. And it seems like the direction that they're going in is probably a good direction, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting. Hopefully interesting anyway.
I think so. Yeah. They don't have to do, you know, they can keep along the same path, you know, like show more pottery, techniques and I don't know, learn, you know, make friends along the way.
Yeah. I mean, like, so Yuru Camp that I like a lot is essentially the same setup. Girl, you know, comes to the school, joins the outdoor camping club or whatever it's called and makes friends and then enjoys activities with those friends. Camping in this case.
Yeah.
This is the same thing, just pottery in this case.
And, yeah.
You know, like there's many shows that they use. It's sort of a shorthand for slice of life just because it's been done enough times that like you're just like yeah this is, you know, this is how you set up a slice of life, I guess.
Yeah.
So it not disappointing in that aspect, just, you know, expected, I suppose.
And at this point, yeah, it's kind of like what could you do, what could you insert into that, you know, like fly fishing or, you know, bowling or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
What was there was a mountain climbing one a couple years ago. Nice. As well. And like I mean, a lot of the, you know, school idol animes start off with that same thing. Oh, I'm going to join the idol club, you know.
I'm going to join the yo-yo club.
Yeah. I'm going to join the living dead club. And I just keep recalling there was another one that was like, joined the manga club and I don't know. Wow. Yeah. There's a lot.
How meta.
Yeah. Anyway. I think we've probably talked enough about that. I also gave this a 6 out of 10. Like it can probably only go up from here, but it could take a sharp left turn and ruin itself, I suppose. Seems unlikely.
Yeah. I imagine it'll stay the course. I liked it. I gave it a 7. That was really cute and pretty to look at. And
yeah, again, I just wish it was longer and there was no live action.
Yeah, it could be a little longer. Like, so, like there was at least one scene that seemed kind of rushed where, like, she told her dad she was going to the pottery club and he just, like, went to the other room and was, like, praying to the mom's shrine they have set up. And then she's in the other room later and it's just, like, she's just out loud being, like, I wish my dad would tell me why, you know, what's wrong. And then he immediately walks in and, like, makes up with her and it's, like, it could have been some time there, you know. She immediately voices that, and he's like, "I'm here." But as a minor, for me, it was a minor thing. Like they just set up everything, and didn't really waste any time.
Sure. I mean, I was gonna say I'm sure they'll delve into that in the next episode, but there's not much to delve into. The conversation that they had pretty much wrapped it up, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really quick, short conversation, but you know,
yeah,
it played out all right, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, just a tiny bit rushed, but it otherwise works, I think.
All right, and then next up we have another apparently slice of life, The Slime Diaries. So
tell me all about it, because I have no idea.
This is based on that time I got reincarnated as a slime. It's a side story, I guess. You were saying that there's a manga side story that this is based off of. So this isn't I don't know. It doesn't probably matter whether it's from.
Yeah, it's a spinoff, but I think it is a manga spinoff.
Yeah. And so I watched a decent portion of the first season of That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. I think I watched 18 episodes, if I recall correctly. Wow. So I, am familiar with most of the characters, unless they've been introduced since then. This one seems to be, from what I can tell, timeline wise, seems to be based on either between seasons one and season two, or concurrent with where we're at in season two. I'm actually not sure because I haven't watched season two. So there was, I think, maybe one or two characters that I wasn't sure if I recognized, that I assume are probably from later, but I recognized a good number of the characters that were in this.
Hmm.
And I would say, if you're going into this having not seen any of That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, the character introductions that they do, which this is primarily just, reintroducing all of the characters, the character introductions that they do are pretty short and don't add a lot of depth to the characters that you would get otherwise if you had watched the show. Mm-hmm. So it's maybe a little difficult to start if you haven't at least watched a portion of the first season and gotten to know some of these characters.
Which, that checks out, I guess, right?
I should scroll my page to where my notes are. Here it is. Okay.
That is
basically what it says in my notes, is that this is primarily character introductions. Rimuru is just sort of bouncing around to, check in on all of the different characters in the town and see what they're doing and has conversations with some of them and stuff. The pacing in this one is pretty actually hectic. It looks like they're trying to just sort of crank through it, get all these characters out of the way so that they can get into whatever it's going to be that they're going to do. I was under the impression this was a slice of life iyashike. I think it might still be, but it seemed like they were sort of introducing some stuff that wouldn't really be in a slice of life. Some deeper story elements that I wouldn't expect in a slice of life.
Okay.
Like right at the very end, really. So I don't know. It might end up being like sort of a not really important thing, just something that they hint at throughout it and resolves itself somehow or whatever. But this one seems to be just very much about the characters and their interactions and stuff, from what I can tell. Like I say, it was pretty hectic going through all of these characters. Not that I really minded, because I haven't watched it since I watched the 18th episode of season one, which was a couple of years ago at this point.
Oh,
I believe.
Wow. Yeah.
So being reminded that these characters exist, like who they are sort of thing. Like they show them on the screen and I recognize them, and that's all I really needed was to see them. And then I would remember who they were and what they were about and things like that. But they do give a little bit more than that, I think, trying to set it up for people that haven't seen the original anime, or read the manga, I suppose. But yeah, there's not much to go on in this. It was just, Rimuru bouncing around, checking in on everybody.
Hard to say what it's going to be.
And Rimuru! I need a cup of green tea, George. Do you have a coffee cup for me?
I do. If we were being filmed video, but we definitely have it out.
I will be posting a picture of me drinking green tea out of that mug in the coming days. It may be probably a day after this episode comes out, I guess, because as soon as we're done recording this, George is going to take a picture of me drinking green tea out of that mug.
Excellent.
The mug is, he bought it for me for my birthday, which is, just passed about a week ago. And it's got Rimuru on it, and it's a mug. So that's like both of the shows that we just talked about.
Yeah, there you go. Let's make a mug.
Mug, cup, and Rimuru.
In one episode.
I was very excited by the Rimuru mug. Anyway. Probably move on. Oh, I gave this 6 of 10. Like, don't.
Okay.
Again, not enough to go on. Not enough to give it a real rating. It was better than the average, I guess. Although at this point, everything's a 6 out of 10. So the average is 6 out of 10, but that's not counting all the ones that I didn't watch, which are probably all 3s and 4s.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which good on us for avoiding such nonsense.
That averages it out pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah. Most of mine are 6 or 7. Odd Taxi's my only 8 at this point.
And then we've got another one, that another Tuesday show. The Saint's magic power is omnipotent. I don't have the Japanese title in front of me, or I'd attempt it. But this one is, we talked about this during the preview episode. Girl comes home from work, is somehow drawn through some sort of magic gate thing from the entryway of her apartment. Arrives in another world, isekai. Mm-hmm.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know, right? That never happens in anime. What's going on? So she gets to the other side, and then there's this other girl there as well, and then all these people are around them, and they're like, oh, it worked. We summoned a saint or whatever, and then some handsome guy comes in and walks up to the other girl and says, oh, you must be the saint, and then sort of takes her away. And then everyone's like, what about her? And she's like, where am I? How do I get home? And then, you know, it sort of time lapses. It jumps through a lot of stuff, not time lapses, but time passes fairly rapidly in the first bit. At some point they say that she had been there for 3 months or something like that. And it had been, you know, 5 minutes of screen time or something. So, so after she is summoned and sort of disregarded, as being this saint, she just sort of gets to live in the palace for free, and she gets bored and wanders out into, the garden where they have like sort of an herb garden, and meets the guy who takes care of the herb garden. And he says that he's from the Herb and Potion Research Institute or something. I forget what they actually call it in the show. But anyway, he, you know, grows herbs, and they make magic potions out of these herbs. And she's like, oh, that sounds cool. Can I come by the institute and check it out? And so she does, and then ultimately decides that she wants to move out of the palace where it's really boring and live in the research institute, because apparently all the researchers live there, so they have some sort of dormitory there. And so she does that. And then she starts learning how to make these potions with these herbs, which requires using magical power. And she's like, I don't know how to do magic. And then the guy says, oh, well, here, let me just, I'm going to, you know, put some magic into your hands. So just remember what that feels like, and then just try and make that feeling again, and then you'll be able to do magic. So he does, she does.
done.
And suddenly, you know, yeah, she's able to do magic. And then the higher ups at this research institute are complaining because her potions are, you know, too powerful. They're like 1.5 times as powerful as a regular potion. Presumably because she's a saint, I guess. It seems like a weird thing to complain about. That's pretty much it. Yeah, she seems to be sort of settling into this life, living and working at this research institute, making magic potions. I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go from here. Mm. It is paced, you know, fairly quick as well. It's not, you know, quite as rapid as some of the other ones that we've talked about from this first week. It's paced better, but like a lot happens and they skip over a lot of things, I guess, just to sort of get to the plot, which seems to be my understanding of it while watching it. It was different than at the end. One of the people say, oh, well, is the reason that her potions are more powerful because she's a saint? I assume she was a saint already, but, apparently they're thinking that the one girl is the saint and she is not, and not that they were both saints, which was my understanding at the beginning. Okay. So maybe my understanding of it was wrong, or maybe it was right and they just didn't expect people to make that jump or something. I don't know.
Weird.
But yeah, there's probably a plot of some sort going forward beyond just hanging out and making potions. but I don't know what that is yet. So
that's an interesting.
Gonna have to wait and see.
To hurry up to get to that.
You
think it would be some, sort of call to action or.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but so it's probably that they were hurrying up to get to the second episode where they're going to introduce what's actually happening.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, we just have to get all this busy work out of the way, introduce you to the world and what she does and all of this stuff.
It's like, yeah, it's an isekai, another world, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. She's already used to being there. So let's get
isekai,
on with it.
She's got crazy power for no reason. She just, I mean, I guess it's not a classic isekai because she's not like reincarnated exactly. Mm. She's not like,
yeah,
she hasn't been taken out of her body in the real world and put into a different body, which is often the case in isekai. Mm. It's just like she's been transported to another world.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's a hair's distinction, I suppose,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's really not that much of a difference. I don't know why I'm talking so much about it. Anyway, so that is Saint's Magic Power is omnipotent. 6 out of 10. See where it goes. Moving on, we have Joran, the Princess of Snow and Blood.
That's right. Episode 2.
Episode 2 this time, yeah. So we get a little bit of a backstory on, what were you calling her? Sawa?
Yeah, that's the name I wrote down for her.
Yukimoto must be her last name or something like that, because I swear that's what they're, and she calls her Yuki. Anyway.
Yeah.
I could look it up.
Yuki,
but I don't care.
Sawa, something. Yeah. Anyway, main girl.
Yeah.
We talked about this last time. There's more revealed about, but there's more, like, because that was my issue last time, is like, there's more questions than answers.
Mm.
And it still feels that way, even though they both increased. So we know a little bit about our main girl. Her parents were assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
When she was really young, and she has adopted in quotes by this person who she now works for.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? We also don't know a lot about. But he. He's basically exploiting her quest or her thirst for revenge.
Yeah.
So use her to, send her on different missions and whatnot. But her main goal is just to kill whoever murdered her parents. And I believe his name, I did write that down. Janome is a name that she mentions a couple times.
Hmm.
But I don't know. What did you think of this the second one?
Yeah, so the backstory part where we go back and we see her parents being murdered and, she declares her thirst for revenge and everything, and then that's how she got adopted into the agency, is all good stuff, interesting. And then the rest of the episode does almost nothing with that information.
Well, it's I don't know if it sets it up, but then it, like, because we also learn about her, this little girl or younger girl she's taking care of or living with, who is not really her sister,
right?
Had her parents murdered as well, but by our main character,
right? But we knew that at the end of the last episode.
That was at the end of the last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was set up at the end of episode 1, because episode 1 ends with Asahi holding a knife over her.
I saw that, but I didn't put together that she had murdered her parents. I don't know.
No, they definitely showed like a flashback of Asahi hiding in a closet after her dad or whoever puts her in the closet and tells her to like chill there. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was the second one, but.
No, because I just watched the second episode.
All right.
So I'm pretty sure I haven't in my episode 1 notes even. That,
well, either way.
Anyway.
Doesn't really matter. But yeah. So they both, it's like poetry, I guess. I don't know. It's like they both had their parents murdered.
Yeah.
And then she, the younger, girl tries to kill her, but then she, easily stops her and is like giving her tips on like how to do better next time. So they have this weird relationship that I don't entirely buy. It's definitely very dysfunctional, but it's like, okay. But then I had the issue too with this one where like things happen way too fast. Like they don't let anything breathe.
Yeah.
So the main mission they go on, our main girl and this other girl who has a, she's blonde, I think, and she has a, her weapon is an umbrella, crossbow.
Yeah, dart gunner. Yeah, yeah, crossbow. So, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd. Yeah, like it like looks like a crossbow, but then the arrows like come out of like what would be the front of
the tip of the
The tip of the umbrella. Yeah. Which is
she did refer to them. She said at one point that she was out of bolts, so crossbow.
Interesting.
Then.
Yeah. So that's a cool weapon. But anyway, the two of them go on this mission to protect this lady they call the treasurer, and she's just working as a waitress, and they like they say something specific to her, and it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna go talk outside.
I'd like the special from the Friday before last.
Yeah.
I think it was something like that.
Yeah. That was the code word. I was like, okay.
Apparently.
And and then so they go out like back behind the restaurant. It's like broad daylight. And like they just started talking and they're like, oh, hey, like you're the treasurer. And she's like, yeah. And then one of them's like, okay, cool. We're here to get you. We got a car waiting. Immediately cuts to the car. It's already being shot at. It explodes. Like, not even a second after she says that, like, wow, that's a coincidence. And so then it turns into this whole action sequence and they're running from, you know, whoever's trying to kill this treasurer person. And so they flee and then they separate. And our main character is just with the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through these tunnels. And then that's when we learn that this treasurer, the reason they want to kill her is because she has an impeccable memory. She remembers everything,
mm-hmm.
All the government secrets and all this stuff. And evidently, she's very well trusted because everyone would believe it coming from her. But anyway, and then this leads to another point where it's like way too fast. Like, so she's protected, guiding her through these tunnels, and then they're having this, you know, exchange, and then it ends with the main character being like, I'm going to protect you. And the treasurer lady's like, I'm relieved. And then the main character immediately turns around and like puts a knife to her throat or a dagger or whatever. and she basically wants to know, like, you know, information about the people that killed her parents and all this.
And apparently murdered her whole village, I think.
That
the implication that was given. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's part of this like blue blood.
Blue Bloods. And that was
family.
The whole town was like a blue blood town, I guess, right?
And they literally bleed blue, and then I mean our main character has these like powers,
special shapeshifter magical power sort of thing.
It makes exposes her lower jaw and
yeah.
It looks really cool.
But does look cool. The animation is really good and like beautiful in this. Yeah.
Just not clear if like all these blue blooded clan, I guess it doesn't matter. They're all dead. Right. But like, I'm like, could they all do that? Or is that just something she can, that's a separate special ability.
I don't know. I mean, she definitely looks different than all the other blue bloods that we've seen because all of them have some sort of, animal thing that they sort of turn into. They turn into these beast monstery sort of things.
Yeah.
She doesn't really turn into anything. She has that bird that we mentioned before.
And the bird sort of seems to meld with her when she transforms, but she doesn't seem to resemble a bird.
Yeah,
really.
She doesn't turn into a bird person. So yeah, it's odd. I would guess, and this is just a guess, that like she's a natural blue blood and it seemed to be implied that the reason the government killed her whole village was to wipe out the blue bloods and sort of research the blood to be able to make their own. So they've got these artificial blue bloods, and that's what the other ones are.
Yeah.
Are artificial, somehow fused with animals. And that's why they morph more into the animals, maybe. I don't know. Again, just a guess.
Yeah, no, I caught on to that too, because this Janome person, they were saying that he is ineffectively like mimicking that power. Yeah, like what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put that. I think you are right though. I assume that he was doing it personally. Like I didn't put it together that he's, you know, helping other people or creating other beings to do it as well.
Yeah,
but I think that probably is right.
Again, that's just a guess. I don't know if that's actually true or not. So, but yeah, I'm glad you explained so much of the plot because my notes have nothing about the plot in them. My notes have a bunch of hyperbole and why can't I think of the word? What are questions that you don't expect answers to?
Oh, rhetorical.
Yeah. So it's a bunch of hyperbole and rhetorical questions. So my notes say the visuals are beautiful, but I'm not invested in the story. Concept is interesting enough, but I don't really care what happens to anyone. Will Yuki get her revenge? I don't care. Will Asahi kill Yuki? I don't care. What is the deal with the Ryumaku?
Oh, that's, yeah.
The magic stuff underground or whatever. Yeah, I don't care. If the next episode doesn't sell me, I'm done. That's it. Three episodes is all this one's getting probably. This one dropped from 6 last week to 5 this week. And okay. It's probably not going to survive another week. Mm-hmm. I don't see, like, story wise, it's not gripping. It's not,
yeah.
I really don't care about any of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I gave it a 6 last for the first episode and I'm staying with that, but it's like, I get it. I mean, I have another gripe too, which is at the end of the episode, since I'm spoiling everything. Mm. They just can't help doing another like reveal at the end of, you know, and there's a lot of shows that do that. Like Breaking Bad was like masterclass of like, you know, ending every episode with like a believable cliffhanger of something you were invested in and wanted to know, like, you know, blew your mind. Like, oh my God, are you serious? But you know, you wanted to see the next one. But this one, it's like, they go through all this trouble of saving this, protecting this lady. Mm-hmm. And at the very end, the other girl that was working with our main character just straight up fucking kills her.
Yep.
And it's like, what? it's like how many double crossings on top of double crossings can we have? It's like, I don't know. It's trying a little too hard.
You know, I have an answer for that question, George. I don't care.
Well, clearly you care enough to watch one more, so.
Not really. I'm just hoping that it gets better.
Okay.
You know, honestly, I mean,
I'm with you in the sense that I'm not really invested, with any of the characters, but it's like, it looks so good. And I guess it's kind of like, I think it looks better to me than Other Side Picnic, which came out last, I didn't finish it, but came out last, season.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's kind of similar where it's like each episode I'm like, there's things I like, things I don't. And I'm, yeah. So we're in a similar boat. Like I'm waiting for something to kind of tie everything together. And yeah, because I thought like before that lady got killed, they made a pact. The main character and this treasurer lady, she was like, can you tell me what I want to know? And she's like, no, I can't because they'll kill my son. Mm-hmm. If I do, I'm kind of, in a corner here. They're using me. And so she was like, if you go with me and protect me, go on the boat with me and help me find my son, then I'll work with you.
Information that you want so you can get your revenge.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh shit, like Call to Adventure. Like, here we go. And then they immediately snuffed that out. And it's like, literally, it's like, okay, well, now
kill
what do
we the treasurer. And then she's like, oh, by the way, your son's dead. In English for some reason.
Yeah. 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 Just, yeah. And very laughably.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, honestly, if this episode wouldn't have made that turn at the end where they killed her and they got away on the boat together and she was defecting from her post as well, that would have got me, I think. I would have been like, all right, I mean, I'm on, still want to see, if it maintains.
Itself.
But I need something like that. Like, we need a goal. We need, like, obviously you want to get revenge, but like, there needs to, I don't know, like, it needs to build on each other instead of like immediately just undercutting, what they've already established. Like,
I honestly don't know what they could do in the next. I mean, they have to set something lasting up in the next episode, basically. Like, if it's just gonna keep playing like this, then I really just don't care. So
yeah, I'm with you on that. I think you went a little easy on some other shows, and I'm going easier on this one. So we're balancing out a little bit.
Fair enough. But I mean, those were first episodes. Everything but this. Well, my hero-ish,
yeah,
but that's
true. Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah. Sorry to end on such a downer note, but that's gonna do it for us this week. Our next episode 4. will be coming out next Wednesday. Wait, hold on. What's today? Today's Sunday. Okay, yeah, Wednesday.
Yes, that sounds right to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's all in my head. Numbers. Like I say at the end of every episode, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram. What's the other one I usually say?
Reddit. Don't forget Reddit. About Reddit.
Oh, yeah, on Reddit.
Or
yeah,
on Twitter.
All of the places.
All the things.
Yeah, you can find us at UmlikeAnime, UmlikeAnime. We also have a website, anime.toyboat.net, where we have our schedule, and you can also find our episodes there and links to all of the podcasting services. You probably don't need those because you're already listening to us, but, you know, if you want to switch services, you know, feel free to go check it out. We're on pretty much all of them. So until next time, keep enjoying anime.
Adios.